comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter because you have the right to know. Don't forget the K-Files. This is Thursday. Tomorrow is K-Files Day. We'll be sending out this week's newsletter. And all you have to do to make sure you get it is subscribe. It's free. So just go to my website, click where it says K-File, subscribe. Click, you'll get a confirmation email. Click that confirmation link, and that's done. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and we don't share or loan or rent or lease or sell our email addresses, our list of subscribers. It's just for us, just for the K-Files. So be sure you get the K-Files. Also, if you haven't joined, you need to do that. Believe me, what you get for 23 cents a day here at the Kevin Smith Show is the best value on Earth. 23 cents. Come on. 23 cents. Click where it says join, and we will welcome you into our community in the members area gladly. Well, the Japanese tragedy is continuing to unfold, isn't it? You know, there are a few bright spots in it. Today, it was announced that they had gotten an electrical line finally hooked up to one of the reactors so that they could start using the cooling system and cool that reactor down. That's good. That's good. That's, you know, that's, but there are six reactors that cannot be used right now. One of the reactors has already had two explosions. So any progress is great news. There are people all over the western United States rushing out to buy potassium iodide tablets because they have heard that this radiation is coming toward America. And I suspect it is. That's the way the wind blows, isn't it? In fact, when this first happened, we had a caller who was concerned about Australia. And I said, well, you know, it could, I guess, but if the winds blow the way they normally blow, that stuff's headed for America. And sure enough, that's the case. People are buying potassium iodide tablets. Be sure, folks, if you're going to buy those, if you're going to use those, be sure that you know the proper usage of them, because they can be dangerous if you don't use them properly, if you overdose yourself, if you take too many of them within a period of time. They can be dangerous for you, but they can be very helpful if you use them right. Just be sure you know how it's supposed to be, okay? We'll be back right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to have a little bit of fun here tonight. We're going to be this is going to be an interactive show here tonight, so that you can participate in this if you have Google Earth. It's going to be, we're going to take a little bit different approach to presenting the information. Now, before I present any of this information, let me frame what we're going to do, and it's very important. Now, people who listen to this show all the time pretty well know this and pretty well get it. However, the show is carried on the internet. And on the internet, people who don't have two gray cells to rub together can get on the internet and pontificate as if they actually really know something, and usually they have kind of a road rash brain. They're very vicious about it. Okay? Now, I'm not nervous about that, but I want to preface what we're going to talk about with a caution. What happens is I will get email from these people generally after I have said something about I am not religious. That's usually when I get it. And I get email where they say, well, you know, you have a great show, but you need to stop promoting atheism. And I write back sometimes. I these days, I just don't respond to that kind of nonsense very much. But when I do write back, I point out, I didn't say I'm an atheist. I said I'm not religious. And, well, you said this and this and this. Usually what they send me when they say, well, you said this, this, and this, usually that's what they interpreted out of what I said when what I actually said was something else. Now, it's pretty easy to figure out what I actually said because we record the shows. Okay? As they're going out live, they're recorded. There's really no question about what I actually say. Now, here's how it plays into tonight's show. We're going to discuss something tonight that is pretty controversial, even in UFO circles. And what happens then after I do this, this show is very, very large, and after I do this, then people start responding on forums, and they start some other smaller shows start having reactions to what I said. This is a very, very controversial topic. And it's a topic I covered first in 2005. This is the first time I covered this topic. And there was pretty strong reaction to it back then, and I suspect there will be now. And that is the reports that the Chinese and the Indian government know about and have located, have found, an underground extraterrestrial base that is occupied and is being used. And this base is allegedly, according to the reports, it's in a very, very remote area, and it's disputed as to whether it's China or India. In fact, China and India fought a border war there in the past. Over whose is it? I'll show you on a map in just a moment. For those of you who are members and you're watching our TV channel, you'll see exactly where it is. But what happens is I bring up the question because there have been further developments since this first came out, and I want to re-examine it. I want to follow it up. And I bring up the questions, and I show or tell what is the additional information. And then there's this, you know, road rash, internet brain kind of stuff that takes place where there's all kinds of weird and nasty stuff where they say, you know, that I said it was this way or that way. And all I did was ask the question. I don't care, except I don't want you to fall for it, and I don't want you to fall into it. When you see that, when you hear that, just understand some people have diarrhea from the brain down. And unfortunately, those folks can get on the internet. Oh, I don't know that it's unfortunate. I do believe in freedom of speech. It is just unfortunate, though, that some folks can speak. All right, now, in 2005, the newspaper called India Daily reported on a UFO base, an extraterrestrial base, in the Himalayas, in the disputed region, the border region between India and China. And their report said that the locals who live there just laugh when people ask about it and are surprised about it. And they say, well, you know, we see UFOs come up out of the ground over there all the time. Happens frequently, all the time. And it's been going on for a very long time. Okay, so that was the report in India Daily. Now, when I reported on this, you may remember the show. I remember it quite clearly. We had people that called in, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just reporting how it went. We had people who called in and said, well, yeah, but I mean, that's the India Daily. How much stock can you put in what they say? Okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't put any stock in the National Enquirer or any of those other, I don't even know the names of the other ones, the tabloids. I don't put any stock in that. Do you? And yet, it was the National Enquirer, if I've got this correct, it may have been one of the other tabloids, but I believe it's the National Enquirer, was the very first publication ever to run a report on the face on Mars. And they ran a picture. And you may remember their twist to it was the face of Jesus. That was their twist. So yeah, it gets some stuff filtered into it that's sort of strange. But they were the first to ever report it. Had they not reported on it, it's likely we would never have heard about it. Certainly NASA didn't report on it, did they? Now, the India Daily is not the National Enquirer. It may not be, in some folks' minds, the most respected newspaper in India. That's okay. Doesn't matter. What matters is that even if it were a tabloid, and I don't think that it really righteously is, but even if it was, those tabloids sometimes hit the target. And that's on purpose. We've talked about that here on the show. I've talked to you about how that is a classic way for disinformationists to hide something that's real. You release the real story in a discredited fashion. And then people throw the baby out with the bathwater, hold their head high, feel proud that they were not gullible, and walk on down the street, stupid as they were, before they read the story. It's used every day. Every day. You're subjected to that. The problem is we don't always know when that's happening. Now, I said when I reported on this story in 2005, I reported what we had. I said, that's all we've got. There's not anything else, but I will keep you updated on this. I will continue to follow this, and I will keep you updated on this. Well, it's been a while, 2005 to 2011. But over a period of time, there have been some other things that have come up, some other things that have happened. And those things are quite curious relative to this kind of story, relative to this story. Some curious things. Now, one curious thing is that China and India actually fought a border war right where this base is supposed to be. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, why is that curious? Well, that's curious because they quit. Without a winner, they quit. And they just said, we don't want to fight over this anymore. A little bit curious. No winner. No definitive settlement of the dispute either. Other than they just said, okay, well, here's what we'll do. India says, we will not send our military patrols into this area. And China says, we will not send our military patrols into this area. So we'll just leave the area alone. Curious settlement, isn't it? Both officially claim it. Both officially don't patrol it. So in reality on the ground, is it China or India? In reality on the ground, I guess it's neither. The reality for the locals who live there, I guess it's neither one. They just take care of their own business. Very curious arrangement, very curious settlement. Now, China. China is an interesting place, folks. With the exception of their arrangements and their view and their actions toward Tibet, with the exception of that, they have no history of being expansionist in modern times. In fact, down through their history, they've never been expansionist. What was Chinese, they wanted it to remain Chinese. And they defended it and made sure it stayed Chinese. But as far as expanding, they haven't gone out and tried to conquer the world. And Lord knows they've got enough people to do it. I mean, if you could just do it with people power, they've got it. And they don't have a history of that. But they do have a history that's pretty interesting. At times, China, if you go, look, it's one of the oldest, well, it's the oldest continual civilization on the planet, as far as we know. It's the oldest continual civilization. But it's one of the oldest civilizations of history, so far as we know. At times, China has been very brutal, but usually very brutal with internal wars. One warlord against another warlord. At times, they've been very, very peaceful. At times, China has been very closed to the outside world. Kind of like North Korea is today. And then at times, China has been open and welcoming to the outside world, as they are today. They've always been brilliant. Are you aware that people who plan to be a general in the U.S. Army or an admiral in the Navy, any of them, when they go to study warcraft, they study, you know, like at West Point, Annapolis, U.S. Naval Academy, etc., Air Force Academy. Whenever they are studying the art of war, they study a book called The Art of War, written by an ancient Chinese general who was the most brilliant warfighter in history. Now, you don't get to be a general in the United States if you haven't studied that. China has always been able to produce absolutely brilliant people, brilliant doctors and scientists and artists, and I mean, they're just phenomenal. At times, China has been wise and enlightened. They've always been artistic. They've always been industrious. And they've definitely always been determined, especially determined to survive. And it's served them very, very well, hasn't it? Because here they are, the oldest continuous civilization surviving on this planet now. Now, there was a time when China was very, very closed. And there were rumors that leaked out around the world that there were pyramids in China. But China was a very closed society. It was sort of, you know, even if you went there for a visit and they treated you well, it was still China is for Chinese. And they just had some things they wouldn't talk to you about. And they wouldn't admit at all that these pyramids existed. Officially, they didn't admit the pyramids existed right up through World War II and, in fact, following World War II. Now, during World War II, there was an American pilot who was flying over China. Now, you may remember that there was some problem between Japan and China during World War II, and America assisted China against the Japanese in World War II. And so this American pilot is flying, and he's looking for these Japanese emplacements, and he flies around and over a place, flies into a valley, and bang, there's a giant pyramid and about six other smaller pyramids around it. And he said it was gleaming white. He said it was about 1,000 feet tall. Now look, I hear people say these days that pilots don't make good eyewitnesses of things like this. Well, you know, if you fly an airplane, you got to be able to sort of tell how tall something is off of the ground, or you'll hit it. So he said it's about 1,000 feet tall. He estimated the sides of it at the base were about 1,500 feet. That's a pretty big pyramid. He said it was gleaming white. Shot a picture of it. The picture exists today. And today, they admit there are pyramids. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about China, and what about these ET, this ET base or these ET bases that have been reported for the past several years now, since 2005? What's going on with that? Well, I was talking about these pyramids, and now, though they spent decades, maybe centuries, I don't know, but decades at least, denying that they exist, they now admit they exist. And they now, as a tourist, you can go see some of them. Some of them you cannot go see. Some of them you can only see as you travel down the highway and look way off on the horizon, you can see some. But at least they admit that they are there. And there has been a, since 2005, there has been a subtle but noticeable shift in how China deals with the subject of UFOs. And I think it's important. And I think it's important enough for us to reconsider the question tonight. Now, let me show you a map. Those who are watching, for those who are listening, I'll describe it for you. This is a map that shows China and India. Now, for those who are watching, you see where it says India and you see where it says China. Between those two, that's Tibet. Okay, on the Chinese side of that border, that's Tibet. There are two very large green arrows on this map. One of those green arrows is on the left side, and it points to a small circle, and that's the Kongala Pass. That is where the border war was fought. That is where China decided we won't patrol that area. India decided we won't patrol that area. And they both walked away from the border war without any definitive settlement on the status of Kongala Pass. That is where India Daily reported that there is an underground UFO base. Now, is it there? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to see. What we're going to see is what you think about that. But the people, the local people there, reported to India Daily that, you know, they see these UFOs coming and going all the time, and they appear to come up out of the ground, which is why it is presumed that this is an underground base. On the right side of this map, there is a green arrow. It is pointed down toward an area where you can see two different colors. The whiter color is China, and the sort of reddish-brown color, well, that is the extreme northeast province of India. Arunachal Pradesh. And in that area, someone who was looking on Google Map, or Google Earth, actually, found some photographs, found some interesting photographs of something in that border area. It also appears to be underground. And here is what it looks like. It's in the middle of nowhere. Now, not far from this, not far away, at I think it's pronounced Osada, and I may have that wrong, but there is a military base. When I say not far away, I mean, you know, it's within driving distance. Now, what we're looking at is very, very remote surroundings. We're looking down. This is a satellite view. We're looking down. It appears there are lots of trees and then a big hole in the ground. And this big hole in the ground has some kind of complex in it. So when I saw this, I downloaded the photograph and I put it into my photo program and adjusted the contrast so I could see what's in that hole. And what we can see in the hole in the ground is a massive complex. There is also, it appears, either, you know, it's hard for me to tell. Either that's a plume of some kind of steam coming up out of the left side of that hole, or maybe that is a roadway that goes off down into the hole. But if so, it goes down into the hole and then dives to the bottom. So I think that's probably a plume of some kind of steam coming out of there. But, you know, maybe not. One thing that I can say is I'm looking at buildings. Now, this is right here on Earth. We do this. This is the same sort of thing we do when we get pictures from Mars or the moon or from other planets, you know. And we look at features from these satellite photographs. And we look down at the surface and we say, okay, that looks like buildings. Well, we're doing the same thing here, and it's on Earth. And because it's on Earth, most people look at this and say, yep, that's buildings. And it is. If you zoom in on this, you download the photographs and zoom in on this, you can see for yourself, that's buildings. Those are some kind of facility in a deep hole in the ground. And it's on, if you were in India, this would be the extreme northeast province. As far as you can go to the northeast. Now, when you get there, just cross the border, get right up on the border with China, and you're in the right area. The coordinates for this on Google Earth are on screen right now, and I invite all of you who are watching, I invite you to check that out in Google Earth. I'll leave that up there for just a moment. Write it down, because I am going to move on. But the point is that there is a big hole in the ground, and I mean, it's big. It really is big. And there, in that big hole in the ground, there are buildings. One of the things that I've heard from people who are sort of in debunk gear all the time, whenever we talk about, for instance, buildings in a crater on the moon, and one of the things I've heard is, well, why would they build, you know, buildings? Why would they build a city inside of a crater? I guess for the same reason that's built inside that big hole right there on the border of China and India. Whatever that is, it's in a big deep hole. And it's buildings, a lot of building in this big deep hole. It's not a round hole either. If you will get a map of the United States and look for the state of Louisiana. It's right next to Texas. It's the first state to the right of Texas as you look at the map. That's roughly the shape of this hole. It's kind of an L-shaped hole in the ground. And it's, as I said, big. And down in it, there is structure. There are buildings down in that hole. Well, why would they build in a crater? I'm not sure for all the reasons why, but whatever those reasons are for why this is built in a hole in the ground, those would be the same reasons you would build in a crater. And I would suspect it's for some kind of protection, that it offers you some sort of protection against elements or whatever. But This is in a mountainous region. We can see foot trails, or if not foot trails, then they would be dirt roads, but a few of them, especially on the bottom side, the south side of this structure. It's not populated very heavily, so there aren't a lot of people wandering up there and peeking off into the hole to see what's there. Maybe that's why it's where it is. Now, the person that posted this on the internet wanted to know, he wanted a response from people, is this the underground base for extraterrestrials in China, India? Is this it? Well, look, this may be an underground base for extraterrestrials. It may be. But the one that was reported in India Daily is all the way across on the other side of India, and it's at the India-China border. But it's not, this facility is not the one reported in India Daily. Now, why am I showing it to you? Well, I'm showing it to you because, and why are we discussing it? Well, because what India Daily reported as being in the Kongala Pass, something very similar to that is all the way across India on the other side and also on its border with China. So I ask myself, is it possible that there are two of these bases in that area? They're not close together. That is hundreds and hundreds of miles apart. But is it possible there are two bases in that general region of the Earth? Underground, functioning, is that possible? Well, it would seem if you could have one, you could have two. I also ask myself, is it possible that India Daily based their report on information that was perhaps not entirely accurate, or if, in fact, this was one of those tabloid disclosures, if that's what's going on, then they tell you the real story and give you the wrong location. And maybe the real location is the location all the way across at the Arunachal Pradesh location on the east side. Maybe that's the real base. Maybe that's the real location. And maybe the reports simply gave the wrong location. Using the method that I described earlier and that I've described on this show many, many times, I've described how it's used all the time. Tell the facts, wrap it with some lies, put it out in a way where it's bound to be discredited, and then you've diffused the situation. You told the truth, but you wrapped it in a package of lies, and you did it in a way so that people would discredit it and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Is that possibly what's going on here? Now, I hope those of you who have Google Earth are taking those coordinates down off of the screen. I hope you're doing that, and I hope you'll go look and see for yourself and see what you think about this. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion this evening about the possibility of China and India having discovered an underground or multiple underground UFO bases, extraterrestrial bases. You know, the whole notion of this seems to some people to be absolutely silly. They think, well, that's just impossible. Well, maybe it is impossible. I don't know that it is, and I certainly would not assert that it's impossible, but, it's always possible that it's impossible, right? But I would remind you that before 1995, we were being taught by the best minds, the most learned astronomers and scientists on the planet, that there was no other star out there that had planets around it. that this is the only place where there were planets. And in 1995, that belief, which was all it was never a fact. It was always just a statement of faith. And it was blown apart in 1995 because the first extrasolar planet was discovered. Since then, we have discovered, up until a few weeks ago, we knew about 400 to 500 more extrasolar planets. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a report was released from the Kepler telescope, space telescope, and it has discovered 1,200 more. So you went from 1994, when there were no extrasolar planets, there were no planets around other stars, up till 1994. Since then, we now know about 17, let's see, is that right? Yeah, around 1,700 more. We know about 1,700 planets out there. And so, in 1994, it was impossible. In 1995, what had been impossible was an established fact. And in 2011, there's 1,700 extrasolar planets that we know about. So the point is that, you've heard me have this conversation with guests. I've had this conversation with callers. People say, well, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Oh, nonsense. Come on. Grab a brain cell and grow up. There's no such thing as extraordinary evidence. You may not know about it, and you may think, oh, wow, gee whiz, good golly, Miss Molly, once you find out about it. But if it was standing out there and you didn't know it, it was still standing out there, whatever it is. It was as ordinary as you. You were just blind to it. That's the way that works. So there's no such thing as extraordinary evidence. It's just evidence. So if a thing is true, it's just true, even if you didn't know it. And there's a bunch of stuff we don't know, folks. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we don't know. Think about that. What we know, actually know, not all that junk that we believe and swear we know, but what we actually know compared to what there is to know is microscopic. So before you say, well, this is just silly and there's no possibility that there's any such thing as extraterrestrials or extraterrestrial bases on Earth or extraterrestrial bases on Earth that are currently occupied by extraterrestrials, before you say that, take the whole scenario that I just presented to you, which is an actual verifiable fact concerning the extrasolar planets. Take that into consideration. Because in 1994, everything we know today was taught as being impossible. The world you live in today, in 1994, we were being told those things are impossible. So I ask again the question, is it possible that this is reality? Yeah, I understand that it was released in India Daily, and some people think India Daily is absolutely a godsend, and some people think India Daily is the Indian version of National Enquirer. Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, it only matters if what you're doing is that faith stuff, believing stuff. If that's what you're up to, well, then it matters. If what you're doing is investigating, then all sources need to be investigated. If what you're doing is investigating and analyzing possibilities here, then all the information needs to be investigated and analyzed. It is possible that the story, the basic story, is true, but that the India Daily article gave us the wrong location. That's possible. It's also possible they gave the right location, the story is right on target, and there's yet another base on the opposite side of India, China. It's also possible that they gave us the right story, right location, and that this thing, whatever it is, over on the other side of India is not an extraterrestrial base. Whatever it is, it's in a deep hole, and whatever it is, it's big and it's buildings. There's structure there, lots of structure. So, there are all of those possibilities. Obviously, one of those possibilities has to be correct. I mean, there is the possibility that the India Daily story was not true in any respect. That's a possibility as well. But one of the interesting things about this, I told you one interesting thing is the border war, and both sides decided, okay, we're just going to walk away, and neither one of us, we'll both still claim it, but neither one of us are going to patrol it with military. We'll just let them be whatever they want to be there. Both sides decided that. Right at the place where India Daily says there is an underground ET base. That's pretty interesting. Another interesting thing has been, over these years since 2005, the development of how China responds officially to UFO stories. I mean, there's been a big change. China doesn't seem to run and hide, and they don't seem to be, all geared up with chuckles when they report about a UFO. They have UFOs over an airport, closes down the airport. They report on it, and very often they run pictures of it or video of it. And, if they know what it is, they say, for instance, it was a military test. If they don't know, that's when it gets interesting. They say, we don't know. It was not us. That's a very open way to treat this UFO thing, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we got that in the United States? I mean, just no chuckles, just serious reporting. And, nobody's asking reporters to believe something. Dear God, what is there to believe? They're either there or they're not. And if they're there, you can get them on film. And if you get them on film, they were there. Nothing to believe. Just report it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking about the possibility of these ET bases allegedly being on the border of China and India. We're talking about the possibility of that being real. Is it possible? And look, on the one hand, you can dismiss it and say, well, anything's possible. But let's really think about this. Let's get into this and really think about whether it's possible or not. In reality, whether it's possible or not. Let me wrap up what I was on to, and then we'll open up the telephone lines. Some of you have had the opportunity to check out on your own computer, Google Earth, and The coordinates are on the TV channel screen now. Check it out. See for yourself. I want to know what you think about this, okay? Now, for those of you who are listening on radio, let me read the coordinates to you. Now, you need to get your pen and paper ready. You need to be ready to write this down because I can't keep repeating this, okay? And you put in all the hour and minute marks. 29, 19, 38, 14 North. 94, 19, 52, 33 East. Okay, I hope you got that. Because, as I said, I can't just, you know, keep repeating that. But I hope you got it. Take a look at that and see what you think. But I was talking about, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if here in the USA, and in fact all over the West, wouldn't it be wonderful if our reporters would just report? Instead, here, news media refuse to report on UFOs generally. Once in a while, there will be a UFO report. If it's one, have you noticed? If it's one where they can say, well, it turned out to be Chinese wedding candles. There's no little green men coming to your door this week. If they can do something stupid like that, they'll do it. But as far as being professional and reporting it straight as just a news happening, like they would report anything else, they have to get over into giggle gear and stupid gear. And, you know, but they don't do that in China. In China, they just report it. And the interesting thing is how the government responds to it. If it was a military test, they say it was a military test. And they don't say anything else about it. They just say, eh, that was a military test. If it was not a military test and they don't know what it is, they say, was not a military test. We don't know what it was. Okay, that makes it a what? Unidentified flying object. So I think, you know, when I first saw this back in 2005, when I first saw this in the India Daily, I reported on it. We talked about it, and I said, we're going to, you know, keep an eye on this story, and I'll update as information develops. But the information has been developing very slowly. And so it has taken till now for there to be any additional information. Part of the additional information has to do with the very slow, it seems, shift in the way the Chinese government and the Chinese news agencies handle UFO reports. There is something being talked about among Chinese commentators as well. And that is this thing about no major country wants to be the first to come out and disclose about UFOs and extraterrestrials. They'd like to keep it secret. But they know it's going to happen. Somebody's going to be first. And the Chinese don't want America to be the first. And America doesn't want the Chinese to be the first. But as the grip on secrecy continues to loosen, they're losing their grip on the secrecy on this thing, and have been for a number of years. As it gets looser and it becomes apparent that they are in fact going to have to disclose, who's going to be first? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Charles from Georgia. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Charles.
I guess I need to take a Rorschach 101 test, but I've been straining my eyes on your picture, and doggone if it don't look like a spaceship to me.
Well, that has been suggested as well, that that may be a spaceship sort of embedded in the ground there.
Yeah, that square, it looks like a square hole there.
Yeah.
It looks like a man sitting in a chair that you might find in a barbershop somewhere or something, and it looks like his left arm has reached out toward that plume you was talking about, and he's got his head turned looking to the left.
Well, you can see something a whole lot better than I can. You have enlarged it more than I did. Yeah. But certainly I don't deny that, that is in the picture. I just haven't zoomed it enough for me to see that. I have bad eyes anyway. Now, where is he located?
We're about the same age.
Where is this this guy located in the picture?
In a little bit below center left, and he's in this, looks like a big square hole or a square something. Now, he's sitting to the right side of that thing to me, and he looks like he's got his head turned around to the left. He's
yeah, kind of I see
a
it.
Red shirt on, looks like.
I see it. I see it. Yeah, well, man, I missed that. Now, what makes you think this looks like a spaceship? What is it about it that looks like a spaceship to you?
I guess I've seen too many Alien Predator movies and stuff like that, but the construction and all on it looks metallic to me more so than a building.
Uh-huh. Well, and it all, you know, when I say it looks like buildings, it's not like a building here and a building there and a building over there. It's all connected. They're all connected. So it could be, you know, a spaceship.
I don't have any scale for size. It may be way too big to be a man sitting there, but that's why I said I need to take Rorschach 101.
But. Oh, mercy. Mercy.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out, see if anybody else saw it like I did. I'll get off that and let somebody else have it.
Well, that's very, very interesting, and I appreciate you calling in. Wow. Well, you see, we've already learned something that I had not even noticed in this picture. But it's whatever it is this is big. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. And if you're calling from the USA or Canada, the telephone number, it's that number, but we also have a toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can call the main number or use the flash message option. If you are in the USA or Canada, please don't use the flash message. That's for folks who I don't have a toll-free number for people outside of USA or Canada, so flash messages are for them because I don't have a toll-free number for them. You have a toll-free number, so there's no excuse not to call. I'll even pay for the call with a toll-free number if you need me to. All right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay. Well, by not hanging on, you get to go to the end of the line. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Los Angeles.
Hello, Mark.
You know, I'm looking at this picture and I don't know if you've noticed it's not, but if you go to the northwest, probably a couple of thousand feet, there's another hole there with some more structures inside it.
Yeah. And you're talking about on Google Earth.
Yes, on Google Earth. Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think it is?
Well, that's the way the holes are. I just can't see anything being there. I kind of zoomed in. I'm looking at this picture, and the way that that plume that you were talking is, it almost looks like, you know how you have a blue screen or a green screen, and you have a shadow, and it kind of gets pixelated. That's what it looks like they're trying to cover it up, but it didn't cover everything up. But what's kind of also curious is the military. Well, I'm assuming it's a military base, because why would they have an airport and structures out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, there is a military base not very far from this, within driving distance of it.
Yeah, and there's lots of roads all around there, so it's kind of curious that this facility, our underground facility, is so close to a military base that I don't think you can drive to it.
What do you mean you don't think you could drive to it?
Well, I mean, you know, like from a major city.
Oh, yeah, it is in a very inaccessible area, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And if you look at the this particular hole in the ground that's L-shaped, the one with the, I said it's big, whatever it is, one that's on the screen. You look at that, you can see, especially to the south of that, on the south side of that big hole in the ground, you can see a road.
Yes.
Okay, but that road, if you follow it from the left to the right, you can see it ends right there at some rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes nowhere. And it does not appear to be a well-traveled road.
No, it looks like a dirt road.
It looks like a dirt road, and one that is not used very often. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. But, you know, there are some other roads that kind of come with it that go to the southeast to all those structures. And I was trying to zoom in on those, and it's really kind of hard to tell with the shadowing. But it almost looks like a horse ranch to the northwest of the what I would call a military base. It just looks like stables. I don't know why, but that's what I'm picturing.
Well,
there.
Well, you know, it could be. The fact that it's military means we're never going to have much information about it, especially since it's Chinese military. We're not going to have much information about it. But remember, when you go north of here, you're going into what we call Tibet. China says it's China, but it is Tibet. And the primary means of getting around is on horse or on foot.
Yep, and that's probably why those look like horse stables, because they probably are. Because that's, you know, not too easy to drive a station wagon around out there.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this report in India Daily? What's the deal? You know, this was in 2005. And they say that it's a well-known fact among the locals that there is a base, a UFO ET base underground at Kungala Pass. And, you know, they reported on it. They said the locals laugh when people are surprised. Another thing, the locals said they don't understand why the governments of India and China want to keep it a secret. They said, how are you going to keep it a secret? These things fly out of the ground. Everybody sees them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't know, maybe there are two of them. You know, or maybe you were, like you were talking about, they gave this other location, they keep, you know, keep your mind over there, occupied over there instead of, you know, down here where the other one is. But, I mean, you know as well as I do, they want to keep it a secret because, you know, if it came out and proved that there are such thing as aliens, you know, things would change drastically.
Well, I'm curious about that. Let's spend a little moment or two on that. How would things change?
Well, I wouldn't say religion as such, but religion in a sense would change because, you know, hey, we've got to rewrite the Bible now.
I don't think so.
I know we talked about it before, but I think...
The Bible's full of extraterrestrials. It starts out with some.
Yeah, but they don't say it, or let's see. It has been translated to take those out, and so they have to like retranslate it to put them back in.
Well, I'll tell you what I think would change. Theologians out of business and Bible in business.
There, that's probably a better example of it.
Because the theologians have been writing fiction and lies for centuries. And that's my opinion. I know a lot of people don't have that opinion. My mother does not have that opinion, had that debate with me just the other day. But look, that's my opinion. I think theologians tell fiction and lies to to propagate their preferred belief. But there is belief, and then there is what actually exists. And so a lot of beliefs will go by the wayside for some people if it's revealed that, yes, indeed, there are extraterrestrials and they're here on Earth. But that's like, you know, there was a time when doctors didn't believe you needed to wash your hands between patients.
Yeah.
Well, that went by the wayside, and the Earth got better.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
But I'll tell you, if let's say that at midnight tonight, President Obama calls an emergency press conference, steps to the microphone, and says, "Yep, they're real. My life will not change at all. I'll get up
and go through my daily routine." Would, but. Some things will, you know, like I say, churches, for instance, you know, they're going to have to, like, recalculate some stuff here.
Well, that's their problem.
Yeah.
If they are telling fiction and then it hits them in the face and they're exposed for having told fiction, then, they're going to have to rewrite all that fiction. They're going to have to get rid of it and rewrite whatever it is that they need to rewrite in order to stay in business.
Mm-hmm. So I think both worlds are telling the truth. You know, the church, you know, the Bible is stating one thing, you know, God and Jesus, you know, so forth. And the other people that believe in UFOs, I think they're one of the same, you know, or aliens, I should say, because...
Well, see, there is what the Bible says, and then there is what the theologians say it says. Mm-hmm. And churches are based on what theologians write.
Yeah, and you know when they wrote the Bible, they didn't know what a UFO or what an alien was or whatever. So when they said, you know, God is out of this world, you know, out of this world, you know, that's what they were talking about. They didn't say he was a little alien and you know flying around in a ship, you know. But like you mentioned before, they're talking about chariots.
You know, yeah, and I think we're going to find out that most aliens look like us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an exception when you run across one that looks different than us. I think most of them are going to look pretty much like us.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the people on Earth. You know, everybody, yes, we do have the five fingers and two arms and the two legs and the head and all that stuff, but we all look different.
There are variations. There are variations, but overall, we look pretty much the same, and I would suspect that's going to be the case with almost all of the aliens. Maybe not all, but almost. But here's the deal. China's been moving toward openness on a lot of things, and certainly on UFOs. China's been more open than... the government over here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, they've been more open about UFOs. Okay, maybe not on some other stuff, but on UFOs they have been. And so I'm wondering how long they will want to keep the secrecy about these bases. Maybe that maybe they're headed towards disclosure real soon. Maybe that's the case.
That's a possibility. But if they had these bases, how come they're working on nuclear power plants when they, you know, if they have this technology, or that, you know, they're talking with these people and have the technology?
Well, maybe because these aliens don't want to give the technology to the humans because it can be used to kill as well as to do good things.
And you know us, we would use it to kill.
Yes, that's true. That is true. That's our number one pastime, is we kill.
Yep.
Yeah. Mark, I got to move along. I want to thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or toll free, 888-223-4599. And we would love to hear from you wherever you happen to be. Now, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, I do not have a toll free number internationally. But I do have, if you don't want to make the international call, I do have the flash message option. You can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link on the right side says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Listen, I've been looking at the pictures and thinking a lot because, you know, I've always been fascinated with ancient history.
Uh-huh.
And in this whole area, China and India area, going back thousands and thousands of years, they talk about the Vermanas. And they talk about the wars with we'll call it ETs or the gods.
Yeah.
I would suspect these are remnants of it and possibly still being used at the present time, considering the fact that we've just spotted UFOs just recently in Japan.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. Did you hear the show the other night about where our guest was talking about acorn-shaped UFOs?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Some people agreed with what he had to say. Some people disagreed. That's the way it goes. That's the nature of life. But the Vimanas were acorn-shaped. The drawings of them are acorn-shaped.
That's right, and they're in the text, and there's pictures of them, and there's a lot of information if you start really looking around. My uncle used to be an archaeologist in the Middle East, and he said some of the things that they found was just incredible. It didn't make sense, you know, and they have found skeletons that were just taken away that were just too large, and, you know, it just counteracts what they've been telling people on a regular basis, you know. And I seriously think that it's very, very possible that we are coexisting with these ETs and not even realizing it.
That is possible. And I want to talk with you about that more. Can you hang on through this next break?
Sure, no problem.
All right. Folks, we have to step away for a break, and we are talking this evening about the story that broke in 2005 in the India Daily about China and India knowing the location of an underground extraterrestrial base. And we're talking about additional information that's come up. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking about extraterrestrial bases reported to have been found, and this was reported in 2005. It's not a new story, but there is some additional information over the years that I've sort of stacked together for tonight's show. We're talking with Haya from Canada. Haya, you mentioned, I think you said it was your uncle that was an archaeologist in the Middle East?
Yeah, my great uncle.
Okay. And
he was in a lot of digs. We were in Beersheba, Jerusalem, right down to Yemit and other areas. And the thing is, they have found so much artifacts they will not bring out to the public because basically it contradicts what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I have had many discussions over the years with my uncle, and I have traveled quite extensively myself. And, of course, one of my passions is ancient history and old ancient runes. Well, you can look in all the texts around the world, all the ancient texts, and they all state the same thing, except in a different way. But they basically say they were people of high intelligence. They came from, obviously, from the sky or from outer space. They had weapons of mass destruction. They were able to perform surgeries. The evidence is everywhere. I mean, when you start looking at the evidence, it's like they still don't know how to build. They built the pyramids. That's number one. I mean, we have the ancient massive pyramid. I think it's in Bolivia they found one.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. There's the White Pyramid in China. Actually, there's more than one pyramid. There's quite a lot of pyramids in China. So as far as these pictures are concerned, I would say it's very, very possible.
So you think it's the same people, those texts that it would be principally the Mahabharata talking,
right,
talking about the Vimanas?
Yes.
And so you think that possibly this would be the same people that are talked about in that text, and possibly still inhabit this structure?
I wouldn't put it, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, I sincerely think, well, I'm pretty sure, I'm aware that there are ETs, I mean, from my own personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of UFOs over a number of years. And then just watching, you know, with the tsunami and everything happening in Japan, watching UFO coming right out of the tsunami. And this, what is it? I mean, it wouldn't have been a plane. It wouldn't have been waterbound. It was something that was came out of the water very quickly. And that wasn't the only one that was actually seen. And that's just recently. They have spotted them, you know, when they had a disclosure, they were talking about they came in and they shut down, you know, the missile silos. So this has been ongoing for a long time. So if you take all that information from all areas and you draw a great big map of the world and you start putting pins in exactly where these areas are, you start getting a bigger picture about the whole thing. I say they really haven't left. They're still here.
Well, it's entirely possible because a lot of these beings, were these extraterrestrials, are described as looking like us. A lot of them were described as looking like us, but they were giants. Some are described, particularly in the Vedic texts, as being blue. And there are people in modern times who have had contact with extraterrestrials that they said were blue. But the ones especially who look like us, you don't know, it may be your next door neighbor, you know, and they're just human, but they are from another planet. That's always a possibility. Now, in these remote areas,
blue people. There are a tribe. I think it's in Africa, where the people actually have a blue tinge to their skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could be descendants.
They very well could be.
And then there's the Watusi, aren't they very tall people?
Yeah, the male Watusis average about 7 feet tall.
Yeah, well, see, there again, they could be descendants from the giants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people, even today, it's a rarity, but you will get people that are born with six fingers and six toes. It's not a common thing, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And it has been recorded.
Now, you said your great-uncle, the archaeologist, had told you about that they had found giant skeletons and that they had been...
Yes, they have.
What did he tell you about that?
Well, he said that when they first, just around Jerusalem area, when they were doing a dig, they found, actually, I think it was two, he said, a male and a female. They had unusual markings, and some of the skin was preserved, and it was like it was tattooed.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they were in there, and they basically took them away, and he never saw them again. And the excuse was national or security or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the password all the time.
And they wouldn't let any of the other archaeologists take a look at it. It was just carted away.
Did he say how tall they were?
Well, he figured at least 8, if not more, feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is skeletons, so when they had all their, you know, their musculature, and they would have, you know, their skin and everything, they're probably a little taller.
Mm-hmm.
No, he said roughly 8, maybe a little bit taller.
Mm-hmm.
He said the female was the shorter of the two, but not that much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
He did mention that one of them, not both of them, but one of them had a cone head type skull.
Well,
the other one had what looked like a fairly normal type skull.
Wow.
And the female was the one that had a normal type skull, and it appeared to be the male had the cone type skull.
Mm-hmm.
Told me they found a lot of other things as well. They found jewelry that he said that it was just mind-boggling. He said the intricacy of the jewelry that was made, he said you don't even see it today. He said they found obsidian pieces that were made that he believed they were probably tools they use in surgery, and they were sharper than the tools they use today.
Yeah, and I certainly
and
have no problem with that.
They find like this, and I don't know about other countries, but he says in a few countries, because he has written a lot of books over the years, couldn't really say too much because, you know, you're limited to what you can actually say if you want your book published. But
mm-hmm.
he did say that what they have found, it gets carted away all the time, and they just, it seems to bother people, the fact that they're finding something different.
Yeah, what? That's just weird, isn't it?
The powers to be just don't want people to know because they already know.
Well, the powers that be want us to know their version of everything. And as long as they control that, they can pretty much control us. So I understand why they don't want people to know. But I have to move along, but I want to thank you for the call. Absolutely fascinating call, and I appreciate it very much.
You do things so well. So why don't you make another pyramid exactly the way they did?
That's true. Hiya, I have to move along, but thanks for the call. Very interesting. Very interesting. Wow. Now, that's more than I bargained for. What do you think, folks? You know, we're looking at something here that's... nobody can say, oh, that's not on the Earth. Yeah, it's on the Earth, and you can go check it out with Google Earth. It's there. Nobody can say, well, that's just an optical illusion. Because you can check it out yourself, you know. For instance, you know, there are people who would say, well, you, Kevin, have manipulated that photograph. And, you know, it's not really like that. Well, check it out yourself. See for yourself. Go to Google Earth and check it out. I didn't manipulate any. Well, I did in a way. I lightened it up to make it where you could see it better on the TV screen. But that's all I did. I just lightened it up. And by doing that, you can see more detail. But Other than that, I have not manipulated this photograph. And like I said, go see for yourself. Like Haya said, you know, people who say that the Egyptians built the pyramids, the Great Pyramid, well, just build one then. If you think you know how they did it, just go ahead and do it. It can't be done. We don't have the technology to do it. We don't know how to do it. Even if we had the technology, we don't know how to do it. If you were an extraterrestrial, and if you had some characteristic that was very noticeable, like blue skin, if you were blue, you probably wouldn't get out and just wander around the streets because you would likely get killed. So wouldn't it make sense that if you are an extraterrestrial and you're still here after all these years, you know, you're a descendant of the originals or whatever, you're still here and you have some characteristic like that, or maybe you're 12 feet tall, you would seek out a place to live that is extremely remote, would you not? And, you know, these places that we've been talking about here tonight are extremely remote. These places that we've been talking about are not completely inaccessible, but almost inaccessible. I mean, you really got to have at your disposal some special stuff to get there. It's like Mark Maverick said when he called in. This is not in a place where it looks like you could get in your station wagon and drive out there. That's right. You would have to have a helicopter to get out there and to land next to it. Or some donkeys or horses to ride, so you could get over there next to it. Well, I think, folks, that it's entirely possible that what India Daily reported was true. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's true. And this is what I was talking about, where people with rash brains get on the internet and say, oh, well, he claimed this and he claimed that. Now, I'm not claiming that it's true. I'm saying I think it's entirely possible that it's true. Something has certainly nudged the Chinese government toward more openness and seriousness about reporting to their people about extraterrestrials and about UFOs. Something has nudged them that direction over the years. What is it? You know, at the top of the show, I was talking about how there was a time when they wouldn't even admit, the Chinese government would not even admit that there were pyramids in China. Now, you would think, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, look at all the millions and billions of dollars that have come into Egypt as a result of tourists going there to see those pyramids. You would think that the Chinese government would look at that and say, now, that makes sense. Let's let the world know that we've got this big pyramid out here and some other smaller pyramids. And then there'll be tourists coming and we'll make money. But they didn't do that. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about China. We're talking about India and the possibility that the report that was in India Daily back in 2005 may be accurate. Is it possible that that was an accurate report about there being underground UFO bases, extraterrestrial bases, on the border with China and India. It would seem to be possible. Look, the content of the story is pretty fantastic for a lot of people. I mean, there are people that would say, well, I have no problem with that. But there are people that would say, that's pretty fantastic. Would it be fantastic to you to discover that there is an inhabited planet other than Earth? I think for a lot of people it would. Well, remember when I told you about the Kepler telescope? The Kepler telescope, a couple of weeks ago, they announced it had found 1,200 additional planets that we didn't know about. 1,200 additional, in addition to the 400 or 500 we already knew about. They also reported that they found in that 1,200, they had found 54 Earth-like planets in the habitable zone in their solar system. Now, that doesn't mean that they are telling us they found civilizations on those planets. But what once was considered completely impossible now has to be considered as entirely possible. Nothing changed except the level of our ignorance. That's all that changed. Nothing changed except the level of our ignorance. The same thing is true if it's revealed tomorrow, if the Chinese government comes out tomorrow and says, yep, these bases are real, and these are extraterrestrials, and we are in contact with them. Or if the U.S. government comes out tomorrow and says, we are in contact with extraterrestrials, they do exist, and we have been in contact with them now for a long time. Either way, nothing changes except the level of the ignorance of the public. Now, the problem is that the level of our ignorance is profound. The level of our ignorance is truly profound. And I don't say that as someone who is sitting back up here and saying, well, you know, I'm smarter than everybody else. That's not my position. When I say the level of our ignorance, I'm including me. Now, some of us are more ignorant than others. When it comes to the ignorant swimming pool, some people are in the deep end and proud of it. And by golly, they're going to stay there. That's their privilege, and that's what they want. That's their approach. But when I talk about the level of our ignorance, it's all of us. The things we don't know about boggles the mind. The things we don't know about, just to consider what we don't know, boggles the mind. But you see, if something exists, it exists whether you know it or not. If something exists, if it's real, it's real whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not. If it's real, it's real. And if one day you wake up and you find out that something you didn't know about is real and there it is, well, it was real 5 minutes before you found out, wasn't it? It was real 2 years ago. It was real perhaps before you were born. If you just found out about it, hooray, good for you. But that's not something new or extraordinary. What's extraordinary is the level of our ignorance. Now, the powers that be have a good game going. It's a good scam. They control what you get to know about the planet, about the solar system, the galaxy, the universe. They control what you get to know. Now, they can't keep a lid on all of it. Some of it leaks out. But what they do with that is then they criticize it, they ridicule it, they make fun of it, while all the time they're spending billions of dollars to get more information on it or develop it, whatever it was. They've got a good game going. Oh, and while they ridicule you for it, they raise your taxes to make you pay for their research into it. It's a good game. It's a good gig if you can get it. That's what's up. That's what they do, and that's how they do it. Now, and they do it with no conscience at all. They do it with no conscience at all. It doesn't bother them that they're going to tax you to death to make you pay for what they ridicule you for thinking is real. You're paying for them to research and develop the very stuff they ridicule you over. It's a good gig if you can get it, but the gig is just about over. Because people all over the world are learning more and more and more about what is really happening. And they're learning what's really the shape of the universe and what's really the state of our technology. They're learning. And so the gig's about over. And it's been, you know, for centuries, it's been a good run for the elite, for the powers that be. But remember, secrets are power, knowledge is freedom, and knowledge is breaking out. And so the secret keepers are losing their grip on power. And as a result, we are watching the death throes of the current paradigm. Now, many animals, when they are in their death throes, they become more dangerous. And that's the case with these powers that be. They are in their death throes. Their system, their paradigm is dying. In fact, it's in its death spasms. And they're more dangerous. That's why we're in for some rocky times to go along with the stuff happening with planet Earth itself. We're in for some rocky times in our dealings with these overlords. On the other side of this, though, things are going to be pretty good. Because on the other side of this, the current paradigm will have died and the real truth will have come out. And we will know. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. And that's why we do what we do here at this show. We examine stuff. We question stuff. We dig into it. We analyze it to see what is possibly the truth. And I hope you join us each and every night for that. It's been fun here tonight. We've learned a great many things from our audience as well. And I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everyone who tried to call in and couldn't get in. I apologize for that. That's just the way it is sometimes, but you keep trying and you'll eventually get here. Folks, tomorrow night we have another show. Tomorrow night you have another decision. You have a decision whether to listen to this show, watch this show, or do something else. I hope you choose to be here. Because like I say, you have a right to know. What we talk about here, you're not going to get it on major news, major media. You're not going to get it. Not now. Probably not ever. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.